This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, August 16th of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Colorado's House District 10 has a new candidate for the November ballot. The Cemex cement plant in Lyons is seeking a 15-year extension of its permit and encountering resistance from some local residents. And we'll go to our comment line to hear what's on the minds of KGNU listeners. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have an update from the BBC News headlines. Then it's How on Earth? On this week's science show, we hear the good news and the bad news about our changing climate. At 9 a.m. comes Alan Watts, the British philosopher, writer, and speaker, known for interpreting Eastern religious ideas for a Western audience. Then at 9:30, Terry Reardon will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Alexis Kenyon.
The Boulder County Democrats Vacancy Committee last night selected a candidate for the State House District 10 race. City Council Junie Joseph will replace incumbent Representative Edie Hooten in the November race. Hooten announced her intent to leave the race last month. We'll have more on this story after the headlines. Congressman Joe Neguse has announced a new $1 billion community wildfire defense grant program. Steve Miller has more.
Neguse, co-chair of the Bipartisan Wildfire Caucus, worked on the grant that is funded through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, signed into law November 2021. The grant will provide at-risk communities, including tribal communities, nonprofit organizations, and state forestry agencies, with planning for and mitigating wildfire risks. Neguse said that the program is a five-year competitive program, meaning that the grants are selected based on applications. The Community Wildfire Defense Grant Program helps communities in the wildland-urban boundary implement three goals. The program aims to restore and maintain landscapes across all jurisdictions and to make them resilient to fire-related disturbances. The program will also help communities adapt to better withstand a wildfire without loss of life and property. And finally, the program will help in improving wildfire response to all jurisdictions in making and implementing safe, effective, efficient, risk-based wildfire management decisions. For KGNU, I'm Steve Miller.
A federal district court in Montana has reinstated a moratorium halting all coal leasing on federal land until the Bureau of Land Management completes a more sufficient analysis on the environmental and health impacts of extracting coal. Eric Galatis reports.
A federal court's decision to require the Department of Interior to consider the potential health and climate impacts of coal mining on public lands could finally give sovereign tribes in Wyoming a seat at the table. Connie Wilbert with the Sierra Club's Wyoming chapter says until now, federal agencies just paid lip service to concerns raised by tribes about impacts to drinking water, air quality, and their way of life.
This is a big step towards requiring much more serious consideration and full disclosure of all of the impacts that coal leasing on federal land will have on tribes.
Coal industry groups warned the decision would put a question mark on future plans. The ruling reinstates a moratorium on federal coal leasing established under the Obama administration, a pause intended to give agencies time to investigate the cumulative impacts of coal mining. The moratorium has been opposed by industry groups and state officials concerned about possible lost jobs and tax revenues. I'm Eric Galatis.
An estimated 8,000 incoming freshmen are moving into CU Boulder's dorms this week. KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better stopped by the dorms to see how things were going.
The university campus kicked off orientation activities yesterday and has organized a number of welcome events over the coming days. Andrew Sorensen, a spokesperson with CU Boulder, says it's going to be a busy week and everyone in town should expect heavier traffic.
We're expecting about 8,000 families starting their journey at CU Boulder this week for first-year students. it's a really exciting time. A lot of parents being emotional, and it's fun and melancholy all at the same time.
Most freshmen are required to leave in the university's residence halls unless granted a waiver to live with parents within a commute distance. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longobera.
Close to 3 inches of rain in less than 24 hours flooded the streets in southeast Aurora yesterday. Most of the Front Range and Denver metro area got about an inch of rain. Storms will continue today with cooler temperatures and showers throughout the morning. Highs today will be in the mid-70s in Boulder. Outside the studio right now, it is 65 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Alexis Kenyon.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm Shannon Young. The Boulder County Democrats Vacancy Committee last night selected Boulder City Councilwoman Junie Joseph to replace Representative Edie Hooten in the November race for House District 10. Hooten announced her intent to leave the race last month. Six candidates quickly threw their hats into the ring to become the party's nominee. In a candidate forum hosted online Saturday by the Boulder Democrats, Joseph said four things set her apart from the others.
First, as an attorney, I understand the importance of ensuring that legislation can stand judicial scrutiny. Second, as a lawyer, I have worked in four counties in Colorado: Weld, Denver, Adams, and Boulder. I serve mostly indigent populations and protecting their constitutional and statutory rights. Part of the work required that I engage with the Department of Human Services. I have seen firsthand the impact of our limited resources in the lives of the people in these various communities. That knowledge will help in ensuring that the bills I champion reflect the fact that Colorado is a diverse state with common and divergent realities and needs. Third, as a member of the Boulder City Council Financial Strategy Committee, with an annual budget of approximately $463 million, as most of you know, I am a very progressive council member, yet I understand that sometimes my aspirations don't fit into the reality of the budget. But I have been able to ensure that despite limited funds, I have worked to balance new aspirational programs with the high quality of services our community is accustomed to. Fourth, as a council member, I have been appointed to the National League of Cities and the Colorado Municipal League, where I lobby state and congressional legislators on issues important to the city of Boulder. I believe these experiences will make me an effective legislator.
Joseph is favored to become the next state representative for the district that includes most of the city of Boulder and the area of Gun Barrel. Democratic candidates historically win the House District 10 seat by wide margins. You are listening to The Morning Magazine. We'll be right back. The Mexico-based cement manufacturer Cemex is requesting a 15-year extension of its permit to operate in the Boulder County town of Lyons. The original permit is set to expire at the end of September. The Boulder County Planning Commission will hold a public meeting on the issue tomorrow. Environmental activists from Lyons, Boulder, and Longmont are organizing an event this evening at Planet Bluegrass Wildflower Pavilion to mobilize the community to submit written comments ahead of the public hearing. At a recent climate action gathering last Thursday in North Boulder Park, KGNU's Rosana Longobetter spoke with Amanda Domingo, executive director of Save Our St. Vrain Valley, about why some locals are opposing the permit extension request. Back in 2019, the group successfully organized against Cemex's request for 25 more years.
In 2019, Cemex wanted a 100% increase to its mining. It wanted an extension of another 25 years. And We advocated against that based on, you know, same argument, Boulder County, please uphold the expiration of special uses. Special uses are more intensive by nature. They had their 25 years. It's clear from the agreements made in 2002 with the Boulder County Parks and Open Space Land Acquisition Manager, and quotes also from the then CMEX plant manager, that the intent was to preserve the valley. So they got to mine for 25 years, and then the valley would be open space, would be preserved as open space. Well, in 2017 or in 2019, CMEX wanted to continue mining for 25 years, and we opposed it. And Dale Case, the director of land use, declined their proposal and said, no, the last day of mining is coming up very soon, September 30th, 2022. So CMEX has now filed a new permit for a special use to extend by 60% or 15 more years. And the community as a whole and a lot of groups have come together as a coalition to once again ask the county to uphold their original agreements and to uphold the expiration of special uses and uphold the September 30th deadline as the end of mining at Dow Flats, so that the land could begin to heal and be restored, as was the intent and as is our intent.
What's at stake if this doesn't happen?
Well, Boulder County is one of the counties that participates in Agenda 2030. They have made a commitment to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions or CO2 emissions by half by 2030, which is now, of course, in just 8 years. CMEX is the number one polluter, the greatest contributor of greenhouse gases to the county. And where they're mining, it was deemed that it would only be appropriate for 25 years. Anyone who recreates, a lot of the cyclists would be affected. I mean, you know, the danger of the excess in truck traffic. But in addition to that, the environmental pollutants, crystalline silica that's released into the air as the crow flies, that's nothing. All of Boulder's affected just as much. It's just not as obvious. They're not looking at the plant.
If the decisions are in the hands of the commissioners of Boulder County, what can the community do?
Ultimately, these are elected officials. The ones that are making the decision are the Boulder County Commissioners. They were elected and they ran on the premise of being environmentalists. In fact, the County Commissioners just signed a petition for the EPA to uphold or to lower the emissions being emitted. So here they are in a position where they are the regulating body. They are the ones that the community that we have elected, based on the platform that they ran on, of environmentalist, and the community has the responsibility to communicate to these elected officials that is their desire, that is why they were elected, that we need them to uphold the expiration of special uses, to allow the land to heal, to allow the community to continue to have these open spaces and have them be safe from toxins.
What can people do in order to provide comment to the commissioners?
Well, the commissioners are accepting public comment right now. They could be as simple as emailing the planner that is evaluating CMEX's special use request for this 15-year extension. The planner's name is Peter LaRange, L'Orange, it's spelled, and they can email Mr. LaRange. They can go to thegoodneighborsoflions.com and they can see the whole history of the permit and they can see where they can enter public comment. It really is as simple as 1, 2, 3. Send an email to the county planner. Show up on Tuesday night to have some fun with the community and learn more about this call to climate action. And then on the 17th, Wednesday at 1:30, which I realize it's really busy for parents, back to school day, but that's the date nonetheless that was selected. At 1:30 p.m., go via Zoom and just show up and listen to this public hearing. The Planning Commission has already made the recommendation to the commissioners that this is a go, that this should happen. In spite of the fact that I believe it was 43 public comments against it that has been received thus far, and I think it was 6 or a very low number for it. And even though I didn't get into it, but a lot of these promises that are in the deal that's on the table by CMEX are actually they're nothing to hang our hat on and to rely on based on the existing wording. And we'll be speaking more about that in person at our Planet Bluegrass event on August 16th, as well as on the 17th of August. People can pull time if they want to speak. That makes a big impact. Even if the Planning Commissioner has made their recommendations, again, the ultimate decision is made by elected officials that have proclaimed to be environmentalists that we elected.
Give me your name again.
My name is Amanda Domenico. I am an environmental activist. I started with Standing Rock and came back, found out that this was happening literally across the street from me and you know, have never looked back.
Thank you so much. For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo-Better.
Tonight on Hemispheres, the International Press Roundtable. As always, the IPR team brings the KGNU listener the latest breaking news from around the world, not often heard in the corporate mainstream media. That's the International Press Roundtable on Hemispheres tonight at 6.
Time now for the latest edition of This Week in Water with Jamie Sudler and Franny Halperin.
Too little water in California? How about too much? That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
People in California are aware that disasters like the big one, a massive earthquake along the San Andreas Fault, are potentially in their future. But according to a new study, they should prepare for something almost inconceivable, mega floods.
It might seem implausible as the state confronts an historic mega drought. Just last week, Governor Gavin Newsom was announcing plans to boost the state's water supply in the face of climate change.
But global warming can also bring extreme weather events, and researchers from UCLA warn that floods, hundreds of miles long and tens of miles wide, could inundate Sacramento, Fresno, or Los Angeles.
The super floods would be caused by atmospheric rivers laden with moisture that stall over California and are locked in place by low pressure in the Northeast Pacific Ocean. Warmer air holds more moisture that leads to major flooding, as happened recently in St. Louis and Kentucky.
The scientists say it's not if, but when these mega floods will occur in California, with the odds much greater in winters that are dominated by El Nino conditions with warmer ocean surface temperatures.
One of the researchers, Daniel Swain, said that the future storm scenario includes stronger winds and more intense rainfall, and up to 400% more runoff in the Sierra Nevada, where precipitation will fall as rain, not snow. It could cause devastating landslides and debris flows, especially in areas scarred by wildfire.
Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, 80 times more damaging in the short term than CO2. It's emitted from oil and gas operations and agriculture, but also released from decomposing waste in landfills, where, according to a new study, quantities are larger than previously thought.
Scientists in the Netherlands collected data by satellites to show that some landfills release tons of methane each hour, with ones in urban areas of Argentina, Pakistan, and India emitting almost 3 times more than earlier assessments. A landfill in Buenos Aires had a climate impact equaling 1.5 million cars.
One researcher said that the problem can be easily solved by separating and composting the organic waste. Composting uses oxygen to prevent methane-producing microbes from creating the gas, but in landfills where the waste is buried, the microbes can thrive.
Old-growth forests are invaluable for their ability to trap and store CO2, clean air and water, and provide habitat. But they're not alone in these remarkable attributes. Have you ever heard of old-growth grasslands?
Researchers led by the University of Colorado Boulder want us to pay more attention to these often overlooked areas, which sequester about 1/3 of all carbon stored on land and are home to a range of diverse species. They are also more resilient than forests to fire, heat, and drought, caused by climate change.
But ancient grasslands worldwide, from prairies to savannas, are imperiled, having been converted into farmland, used to grow trees, or developed as cities expand.
And like old-growth forests, pristine grasslands take centuries to restore, if at all. So what remains intact needs to be protected.
Luckily, there's been momentum in that direction. Just a few weeks ago, Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon introduced legislation to establish the North American Grasslands Conservation Act to protect, restore, and manage these vital ecosystems.
Given that 85% of grasslands in the U.S. are privately owned, the act would empower ranchers, farmers, and tribes as stewards to improve biodiversity, support habitat connectivity, and protect watersheds, all while increasing sequestration to confront the climate crisis. Senators Michael Bennett of Colorado and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota co-sponsored the bill.
And finally, if you buy healthy food at the grocery store, you're doing a solid for the planet. A study from Oxford University found that nutritious foods tend to be more sustainable and environmentally friendly than other choices.
But when you pull a product off a store shelf, it's hard to determine its environmental footprint from its package. So researchers looked at more than 57,000 food items to build a database of individual ingredients and rank them by environmental impacts such as greenhouse gas emissions, land use, and water stress.
They then overlaid the nutrition quality in terms of calories, salt, saturated fats, sugar, protein, and fiber. Foods that were healthy and good for the planet tended to be made with plants and included fruits, vegetables, breakfast cereals, some breads, and meat alternatives like tofu or vegan sausages.
There were some surprising exceptions. Both nuts and seafood were nutritious but had relatively high environmental footprints. The team found that foods containing lamb and beef had the most serious environmental impact, scoring up to 3 times worse than options made with poultry.
Also in the lose-lose category for sustainability and health were cheese and chocolate. So fondue? Maybe fondant?
That's it for this week in water. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
We now check in with KGNU's comment line and the listeners who share their thoughts about what they hear on KGNU.
Hello. I was just thinking about it. I just heard Joel Edelstein talking about water and lack of it. I was wondering if How on Earth has thought about getting someone from University of Northern Colorado to come down here and talk about weeds, on what kind of weeds to grow here. What kind of weeds are good for the soil, what kind of weeds we can eat. The reason for this is that here in Arapaho County in Aurora, they're having us tear up our lawns, and a lot of people are concreting their areas in or putting black plastic and then rocks on top of it, so it doesn't allow any snow or rain we may possibly get to ever filter into the ground. So I think that would be a great show for them to do, because we're running out of water here, and weeds seem to be taking over. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, good morning. It's Sunday morning. I think it's the 13th of August. I tuned in to hear Fergus and some bluegrass music. I'm kind of disappointed that there's been nothing but talk for the first 40 minutes. So I tuned into something else. I appreciate interviews as much as the next person, and I usually tune in to hear what Fergus has on his playlist, so I'd love to hear some music. Thanks.
If you'd like to make a comment on something you heard on KGNU, you can leave a message at our listener comment line at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25. That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Thanks to Alexis Kenyon, Steve Miller, Rosanna Longo-Better, Jamie Sudler, and Franny Halperin for their contributions to today's program. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Stay tuned for How on Earth. That's coming up just after the news headlines from the BBC. Also, please be advised that the National Weather Service in Denver has issued a flash flood warning for southeastern Boulder County in northeastern Colorado and southwestern Broomfield County. The flash flood warning came into effect at 8:18 this morning and will remain in effect until 11 a.m. Flash flooding will affect small creeks and streams, gulches, roads, and poor drainage and low-lying areas. Be aware of your surroundings and do not drive on flooded roads. Some locations that will experience flash flooding include Westminster, Broomfield, Lafayette, Louisville, and Superior. That's in addition to Boulder. Coming up next are the BBC News headlines, and after that is How on Earth?